Well, can I just ask Councillor Telfer, are you saying that we must hear from DIPTY at a forum amongst elected members, or do you want to leave it open?
You can leave it open and we can be properly, or DIPTY will say, if they are at a tender process that doesn't allow them to divulge information publicly.
The question that I'm putting forward to take account of Councillor Hull's question is to delete the words at a forum, which seem to have been extracted already, but after it says meets as soon as practicable with the elected council, what I'm just floating is the suggestion that the words at a forum be deleted to leave the possibility open. Councillor Fife is happy with it?
I'm happy to take it out, but I wouldn't say definitely that they would come publicly because of the tender situation at the moment.
Well, if it's left open, then staff can sort of negotiate. So I take that as the mover and seconder seeking leave to amend the motion accordingly. Is leave granted? Is there any objection? Is that an objection? Let's be flexible, because we want to get this right. So if it's a question, please put forward the question, Councillor Velescu.
If we're not happy, because there is some federal government involvement, whether we look to pursue that in some way as well?
Well, Councillor Velescu, we're really getting into an extension there, and you haven't spoken in the debate yet. You may wish to move that as an amendment, but I'm not sure it would be easy to play around with the wording. No, we're just getting to the point of establishing whether there is leave of the meeting. Is there any objection to it being moved in the amended form? No. Then with the leave of the meeting, the motion is amended to delete the words at a forum, but otherwise it's the same. Now, it's been moved and seconded. Councillor Hull, you asked a question of sorts, although it wasn't exactly a fact-finding question, but you may speak to the debate.
Well, Mr Mayor, it's come to light that that forum was the 19th of May. Now, less than a month later, they lodged an application to our DAP to remove the trees. So you don't have to be a detective to work out that we had a briefing where we didn't get all the information. They weren't particularly forthcoming, not only with this issue, but also with the Warrapringa matter. So I feel pretty duped by this. Mr Mayor, like, I give up my night to come along to a forum to give them the candid opportunity that Councillor Telfer seeks, and they withhold critical information. It's very disappointing.
Councillor Hull, as a matter of correction on the record, staff advised that the forum you are referring to was the 5th of May. It doesn't detract from your point, but it's just for the record.
They still would have known. They still would have known, no doubt about it. So, you know, I'm losing confidence in the dialogue we have with state government departments. You know, with the rail corridor, we had the same problem. And it was only recently I found out that we probably didn't get a very good deal out of that process. In fact, there was plantings after that failed miserably. And the notion that we can cut these trees down and do this mass planting is a flawed concept, because with climate change, our summers are getting tougher and tougher. It's harder and harder for these trees to survive, you know, in the short term, let alone the long term, to get to the size they are now, that Councillor Pfeiffer alluded to. So this is a fairly serious matter. Even if they pay us the courtesy to talk about adjusting the roadway in whatever fashion to avoid these trees would be something. courtesy if nothing else.
Just in regards to the trees, in late 2005 I circulated a petition in regards to the trees at the Oakland Station. And I guess for the people working on this, don't give up. You would be surprised that keeping up the pressure actually can have an effect. And I think whilst we didn't get to stop all the trees, and I recall that Councillor Hull actually signed that petition, thank you, Your Worship. And so by keeping up the pressure, I think we can actually minimise the impact. And I think that's a good point that, you know, we do have a couple of local members in the area. One, I think the local member is an opposition member as well, so I guess that they'd be keen to get involved. But, just don't give up the fight on this. Because it is important, and it looks that it's totally unnecessary. So that's all I have to contribute.
Yes. There are four different positions that the trees are going to be dealt with. One is those that are straight in the South Road upgrade path. The second lot is in the slipways to and from the main South Road path upgrade. The third lot are in the Sturt Road medium and sides, and the fourth lot is on our land in Warraparinga. And all of those need different treatment. And so we need to treat each lot delicately and differently, and I look forward to doing that in some great depth. I also would like to continue on as an example, follow Councillor Pfeiffer's tree that he picked up, tree 507. Diptai was suggesting that they would give it a heavy root prune. Now that tree is 400 years old, and under tree evaluation, being 400 years old, it's very rare. It's a lovely shape, a lovely tree, and it's worth $176,000 on the tree valuation. So let's be properly briefed and do our work well so that we can do the best for our community on this matter.
I'd like to move a motion, please. I've already sent staff an amended version. Okay, obviously the master plan is something which is going to be a staged development. We've already seen the memorial. The funding for the memorial came out of the long-term financial plan budget, mainly for the playground on that foreshore. For anyone who's not been down to the foreshore recently, the playground's pretty much fallen apart. There's only the climbing frame and a couple of swings left. The rest of it's pretty much not usable. Obviously, there's pressure for the playground to be reinstated as soon as possible. However, I've spoken to the other councillors, including the Southern Ward councillors, and although there is an option to fast-track some of the works and maybe complete some in the next financial year, the 151 proposed additional budget cost is not something that we feel appropriate. So we are looking to the option one, as recommended by staff. We prefer the budget to be kept reduced. We spent considerable time looking at budget savings for this development, and we've still got a fair way to go, and I believe we can make further savings. The amendments I've made are twofold. One, in that we will go for option one, as recommended. However, I note that the funds that keep being required for design or extra services seem to be always coming out of the playground fund. The problem with that is that eventually we'll end up with a very small playground fund, not even enough to build the playground should we need to, and we won't have any seed money to actually complete any works on that for sure. So I'm asking for a bit of commitment from other councillors in that we move forward, we do save the money, as recommended with option one, but the ongoing 15,000, first of all, for the design works, and then later on the 293,000 actually come out of the Asset Sustainability Fund rather than the actual playground fund, because otherwise we are going to be struggling to actually finish the playground no matter what.
Through the chair, so there's at the moment I can't comment on what the impact that would be in changing it and bringing it from the asset sustainability reserve. In the report and in the appendix, council would note that a report will be brought back to council at the completion of the detailed design section. So the work that will occur, that could be an opportunity if council wants that analysis to whether it comes out of the existing project budget or out of the asset sustainability reserve, we could provide that analysis as part of that report, so that is an option for council.
How much is currently in the asset sustainability fund?
Through the chair, so having received this tonight, we don't have that information here. So that's... I don't have that information here.
No. I believe there was about 2.4 million and we need to be, from advice from Vinnie, he would like to always remain 2 million in that fund. That's our emergency fund should a major drain blow out. So I would want to maintain the 2 million, but I believe we're up to 2.4 million in those funds. If that's unachievable, we've also got just over 4 million, which is probably going into the community partnership something fund, if that's an easier fund to go for. But they're all in the same pot anyway.
Look, I'm going to support this, and the reason I am is probably some of the discussions and background I've had on the issue with Councillor Crossland. I think what the councillors in the area are looking at is actually taking out what's not necessary from this. Some of the designs, I believe there's the issue with the Southern Cross, which will look great from a helicopter, but really won't, you know, is it really adding to it? So there's been a lot of work from the local council was in response to, I guess, what the community had asked for in that initial consultation. I'm quite comfortable that the end cost will be significantly less than the $3.4 million we were looking at. Hopefully, we can get a significant contribution from the state government, especially around about the next election time. I know that the local member, wasn't part of forming government, but they offered up to $1.7 million last time. If they can get that deal again, and if the government does change, that would be a benefit. But I think there's a lot of opportunity to save money on this, and that's why I'd support this money coming out and keeping the money there for the playground. We may find that there may not be very much that's needed, but also having that money available, we can maximise the matching funds. So that's why I support this.
Yeah, my question is around the $15,000. Can the staff provide me an explanation of what the $15,000 is expensed on, and are there staff costs included in that?
Through the chair, the $15,000 is for external engineering structural advice that's not available internally.
So I take that there's no internal staffing costs involved in that?
Thank you, Your Worship. I note that Councillor Crossland's comment that Vinnie likes to maintain a certain amount in the asset sustainability. That's what I was going to ask. Is there still, I know there used to be, because I remember it seeing going through audit committee, but is there a minimum amount that we have to keep in there under council policy? Right, but we don't know the exact amount that this would draw down to tonight.
The only thing I can add, because we did send a message to Ray Barnwell, a finance manager, when we received the motion this evening. So there is $1.4 million transferred to the CFPP fund in this year's budget. So that could be an option for council to access that the funds as well. But that's, yep.
Your Worship, can I speak briefly? I think Councillor Crossland's onto a winner here, and I think it's an absolute cracking idea. For me personally, if it does go to a vote tonight, I'll be voting against it just because I want to actually have the certainty as to the numbers we're dealing with. But I think it's a cracking idea. I just want to make sure that the numbers.
Mr. Mayor, formal motion.
Are we allowed to ask whether we can actually find the information tonight and not have it hanging over?
Point of order. There's no discussion on a procedural motion.
Worship, I'm happy to move that. Thank you, Your Worship. I'm just going to get my agenda up, so councillors bear with me. I'm happy to move this motion. And I've got some notes on this. The wonders of technology. Thank you, Your Worship. I heard about this pretty much at the end of the process. Basically, there were some objections about having this located on the Oaklands Estate Reserve there. I think one lesson we can learn from what we've done at Hazelmere, whilst it provides a lot, you do have a lot of problems when you have a lot of things happening in one site. So I think this was quite prudent. I understand that there were at least eight sites, or around about eight sites total it looked at, even going as far south as Capella Reserve for this. And the best site was the one on Hendry Street. So I think that it's a good way to go. I believe there was some capital works scheduled for the playground at Hendry Street in the not-too-distant future. I could be wrong, so possibly some of that can be saved. I just think we need to be aware of the issues around parking and traffic, and I have expressed that to one of the staff members who have been involved with the consultation. So with the leave of the meeting, I'd like to proceed that we go down this this path. And I think it'll complement the facility we have there with the outdoor pool, the parking, possibly the toilets, but depends if they're DDA friendly at the moment. So I ask for the support of council.
Very happy to second this. I've had the pleasure of being on the previous council and moved the motions to proceed up to this point. It is on a different site now, as proposed. And if members have read the report, they'd realise that it's possibly a better site. It's only up the road from the Kilparan Sensory Impairment School and South Australian School for the Vision Impaired. The synergy is there with other like entities. The other thing that it'll do, Mr Mayor, is, and I draw Councillor Valeska's attention to this, is that with the review of our outdoor pool, which is right alongside this, literally across the car park, it will actually put pressure on this council to commit to appropriate disabled access for the pool. We have at our disposal a case to argue that we will have a significant regional disability facility for children. And I don't think that we should undervalue that. We have got obligations with the pool with disabled access anyway under the DDA Act. But, you know, this could be another feather in our cap. Members, I don't know if you realise it or not, but the total expenditure on this project is in the vicinity of $900,000. This is one playground and one significant playground for disabled kids near and far. So, you know, and if you put the lens over this area, this mile, this square mile, if you like, the amount of money that's been injected into this square mile is really, it's a hot spot in Marion. If you consider the wetland, the recreation plaza that's being built at the moment, it will be opening soon, hopefully. And the other things that we're proposing to do with Oaklands Reserve as well, this is really special. And I think that in the past, disabled people and children in particular have been overlooked. And it's only because of the state government, the member for Elder, to her credit, Annabelle Digance, and the Touch by Olivia Foundation, a partnership between a two levels of government and also a foundation that has actually enabled this to come on. And it's a great outcome.
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. When our staff member in the assets in the Environmental Sustainability Unit started researching the ceasing of the purchase of green power through our lighting contracts, it was found following the Council resolution to cease that in January 2017. It was found that we could actually change that contract earlier than that date. During that research, two other minor contracts were also identified in terms of the purchase of green power, and it has been found that we can, or that we may also be able to withdraw from those contracts and therefore achieve a savings in this financial year of $39,000. So from a procedural perspective, given Council had previously passed a Council resolution to cease the purchase of green power in January 2017, because we were going to vary that approach, we needed to come back to Council to seek to that, vary that original resolution.
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. Leave the motion as printed. How far we've come. Again, Mr. Mayor, and heads up, new CEO, Mr. Mayor, because we need a driver, and we are on a new direction. It's fair to say the previous administration were not interested in this. Certainly. And how far we've come. Mr. Mayor, up until recently, we had pretty much bugger all infrastructure on our council buildings. Last council, we actually gave the nod to the bowling club to do something significant over there, and that really pretty much doubled what we had in the first place. This is actually going to go a lot further than that, and if Councillor Pryor has his way, we'll go a lot further than that, and I'm with him all the way, and this is where the new CEO may well have an important role in taking us forward with whatever we decide to do. With the rising utility costs, Mr. Mayor, we need to look at this. The electricity costs, energy costs are going up. In this very agenda, Councillor Pryor's had some superficial advice about how much we're paying. You know, it doesn't pick up all the other halls, but it's picked up some major facilities. When the new Hallett Cove Library goes ahead, we're going to have another big whack added to that because it'll be using more power than the old Hallett Cove Library, let me tell you. So it is important to us. I think that this is just the beginning. What I would like to see added to this motion, maybe, as point three, that the administration alert council to possible funding partnerships going forward where the money that we have in this kitty can be value added by grant monies where we can actually get more bang for our buck. That's I think point three.
Um,
Yeah, look, I apologise. It's just something that came to me because I thought of it when we dealt with this last time, and I did mention. Yeah, Flickr. Yeah. I'd like to add that to it, because even if there's no opportunities in the heads up about those sort of things, at least we can keep an eye on it.
Absolutely. I agree with everything Councillor Hull said, and I'd like to add a few other points. It's better that this money is spent on green infrastructure for our own council business, rather than using our money to pay off someone else's green infrastructure. And that seems like a waste. If we put this money towards green infrastructure for our own council, then in 7 years' time, the general period, we get to put it in there again. So I fully endorse this. I think it's a great idea. No, I've got a question, Your Worship. Councillor Pryor is relieved now. I've got a question for the staff. What efforts, if any, have been made to engage with companies that provide green credits back to the energy suppliers and therefore come along and change the light bulbs and faucets and taps and whatever else? Because there are several companies that offer that service, and I wanted to, you know, just on this green energy debate, to clarify what have we done in that sense? Because, you know, that's a free cost to council potentially.
Happy to answer that. Nothing at this stage, but it's on the agenda.
I have a question through you to the staff. What monitoring of Coe Civic Centre will we have to optimise the data on the solar cells that we're putting on there?
I don't know, but there is a building management system in it, so there should be some sort of computing measurement software, but I can find out.
question again, oddly enough, Mr. Mayor. Page 108, just below the dot points. I think this is the salient concern. Unless the political party slash affiliate has paid for or provided the printing of additional election material, it should not be a requirement to include a statement of the name of each political party, as it may incorrectly appear they have actually endorsed it. So this is the escape clause. This is the escape clause that you can use by not providing the transparency the community are looking for. Yeah.
I believe the bill at the time, if I remember rightly, was wanted basically to brand people. If I'm a member of a political party, so it was known in everything that was produced. I believe that was... I think I provided this feedback is that if someone has used a political resource for their printing, fair enough, it should be identified. But just because someone prints something out themselves and they're a member of a party, would actually, and they may have nothing to do with that printing, why should it be on the material? So that. But this is the material that the people provide to the community. I guess for myself, because I'm a member of a political party, but I don't go out there based on my political party beliefs. I go on the local issues, which transcend the political debate. So. Your Worship, I was... move the motion as is, but what I wanted to say, Your Worship, is that I have no problem with the disclosure. I have no problem people knowing if it's on the candidate website that people belong to a political party. But I think the problem I had was just as in regards to having that on the material that I produce, that I pay for, that I pay to get distributed, which has nothing to do with that. So that's what I meant, because I did not want them to think community that the political party is doing this for me and they expect something. So that's what I meant. But I'm happy to move the motion as is, and I'll take any debate and feedback people have. So you can. So does that mean we provide no feedback?
Just by moving the motion with the exclusion of that paragraph that I referred to, that you know, if you are a candidate, you actually do provide some transparency and you declare in any campaign material that you belong to a political party or, for that matter, a lobby group or any affiliation to any of those organisations. It's interesting, Mr. Mayor. I thought it was my motion. I thought this is my motion. The fact that Councillor Bleskin moved a different motion is of no concern to me.
Question, Your Worship. Point of clarification.
Or maybe that should be amended to suggest that maybe take out should be a requirement to include us. Maybe just take out not be and just have should be a requirement. And that would probably be a more appropriate motion to actually just take out not be and put should be a requirement. Okay, all right. I'm back to where I was. Take that out.
Can I ask a question? You mentioned that we're going to send a message to Parliament, et cetera. Sorry? Well, I noticed that we're just sending the response to the LGA that are just going to put it in the pot and stir it around and give us another letter back to the MLC. So I'm not sure if our message will get across to Parliament, Your Worship. That's my my point, that the response is only going back to the LGA. One of 68 councils.
In terms of the decision we need to make in the recommendation, in terms of the attendance of prescribed meetings outside the council area, which one of those would absolutely preclude any possible claim by an elected member for a chauffeur? I just want to know, out of the options in the recommendation as printed, in terms of travel outside the council area, which one of those would be the strongest to preclude any councillor making a claim that they're falling asleep at the wheel on the way home and they need a chauffeur to get to a destination somewhere outside of Marion? Outside the council area.
Certainly. Through the chair, I think there's three options available, and I think each of them, if it was a reasonably large distance that you were talking about, each option would actually preclude it because of the, it either caps it at either a $50 or 20 kilometre return, or the other options are suggesting a $500 per financial year cap or no entitlement at all. So I think each of the options presented there, if you were talking about something over a long distance, would preclude that.
Okay. Question to start with. If a councillor is travelling interstate for, say, a conference and requires a cab from the airport to their hotel, how would that work with those, at least the first two suggestions?
Through the chair, it's actually covered under a different section because it's under section 2.7, which is conference, seminars and training. So it's a different provision rather than the provision we were talking about under 2.5.
Okay. Look, I would like to move a motion, Your Worship, if I can. Look, I would like to select the first option, a maximum of $50 or $20 per return outside the council area. So that's in addition to the council area. I just want to make sure that everyone's nodding is in agreement of that. That's what we are referring to. It's not 20 kilometres in total. It's outside. 20 kilometres outside the area, which I think is relevant for when we may need to travel to the city or back, or what it might be for particularly the future deputy mayors over the next 3 years who attend events with or without the mayor. That's my first point. Second point I would like to raise is the fact that, as the Mayor has acknowledged, there has been a change to the mayoral car component of the members' benefits, in that previously it was personal use, and I think we need to cater for that because it's not necessarily clear-cut if you're stopping, as a previous mayor once said, stopping to pick up their posters on the way to a meeting, they might deem it as their personal time. So I think the suggestion of 50% is quite adequate. Is a separate. Yeah, I think you need to leave, but I'm not sure then how I can continue the... So I've moved... I've now... Yes. Okay. Sure. So I think that's a fair and reasonable way forward. I think previously That hasn't been the case. It's been part of the deal as a fringe benefit, as you will. And I think we need to cater for that. Just as a quick question to the staff, has there been any benchmarking with other councils in relation to the mayoral vehicle?
Yes, there has. At the moment, the only other council that provides full use to a vehicle for private use is Adelaide City Council.
Okay, so I'm not sure how that's been managed previously then. I think I'll have to end it there because I think I need to...
Can I ask a question? Through the chair, wherever that chair may be. The question I have is this actually a policy change or is this more of a policy enforcement?
Through the chair, it is a policy change. When we were doing our research on the policy and we had a look at the legislation, and if you look within your report, page 122, there is some information in there in regards to mayoral support. So the legislation is fairly clear in that anything that is for beyond council use, so if it is personal use, it should be reimbursed.
Yeah, sorry, I probably didn't make myself clear there. So the legislation was enforced previously. We're just now enforcing the legislation.
Our policy position that we had prior wasn't consistent with the legislation. And so now, as part of the policy review, we're confirming that and changing the policy.
So just to follow on from Luke's question, it may be that the other councils have mayors using their vehicle privately but aren't changing their policies to the way we are.
Potentially, yes. Yeah.
Just before Councillor Valescu starts, I think there's a sense of practicality here. What is the point of having a mayoral car, which I did raise at the forum, then if we are to... purely go by what the legislation says, what is the point of it? Wouldn't you rather then say, well, in lieu of that, we'll give you the equivalent Mercer value of that vehicle? You know, there's all sorts of different ways that could be conjured up. But I'll go to Councillor Valescu then, Councillor Hull.
It's important that we let the community know it's not about us trying to get whatever we want as elected representatives. And I think when you make the think about your expenses and the fact that someone else is paying for them, I think it does change our behaviour. And I do commend the mayor for actually.
Is this a question, Councillor? Because we haven't got a seconder yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought it was.
The question is,
what happens if the use is less or above the 50%? And is it worth considering an option such as the logbook method for the reimbursement of expenses if there is a variance?
Okay, sorry members, we just had to seek some advice. Thank you for your patience. What's been suggested is potentially that we might want to consider the 50% as the base, that the mayor would contribute 50% to the running cost of the vehicle, and if there's any evidence to suggest that there's been a higher usage than the 50%, that the mayor will then reimburse an appropriate percentage accordingly, much like we are required to do with our telecommunications equipment. So, yes, that's right, Councillor. So, so I'm going to go around the room, and I think we're going to... I still don't have a seconder. Does anyone want a second at this point, or do you still want to see it typed up? Yes, I probably should. I'm happy to... Okay, so Councillor Telfer's moving. Do I have a seconder? And then I'll go to questions. How does that sound? Councillor Pfeiffer seconding. Okay, I'm going to go to questions, and while that's been typed up and everyone has time to digest this, because I want to make sure everyone's clear, I'm going to go Councillor Hull, Pryor, and Pfeiffer, I think. Was it? No? Okay. You two.
The legislation relates to personal use must be reimbursed. So it would be up to the mayor to be able to provide the evidence or that information in regards to how much is personal use. As we've discussed, there is some discretion that comes into this as well in regards to, you know, if the mayor is attending, if he's going to work and then attending a meeting in the city or on his way home or something like that, you know, some of this has to be brought into account in regards to how it's actually calculated from a practicality point of view, which I think is where the proposal for the 50% has come in. No, because it would be through the employment contracts with the employees. It would be through the employment contracts with the employees, which are completely separate from the Local Government Act.
I've dealt with. Why is this suddenly an issue when all those previous mayors had unrestricted use of those vehicles? Why is it now such an issue when the mayoral job is getting harder and harder, and now it becomes an issue?
Well, I can't comment in regards to the previous mayors. All I can say is that it was identified when we did the review of the policy. We want to make sure that the policy that council is adopting is in accordance with the legislation, and that's why we're proposing the change.
Well, the last question is, the past mayor even used her vehicle for campaigning purposes. She admitted to that, but nothing was said, formally anyway.
So is your question, Councillor, is the previous mayor liable for those costs? Is that what you're saying? Are you asking whether the previous mayor is liable for those costs? Well, we'll ask the staff then. If that's your question, staff, can you please provide an answer on that? They're going to take that on notice. They can't provide the answer at the moment. Councillor Pryor?
Just a quick one for everyone, the benefit of everyone around the room. Is there a rough ballpark figure about the running cost of the car so we can better judge this? Like, what are we talking here?
We have a rough idea.
And I
certainly have a rough idea, and the staff have a rough idea too.
Are they all the same idea, or are they different ideas?
Okay. So, you know, once you take out the depreciation, we're talking probably 6,000 or 7,000 in. It's 11,000 in total, including depreciation per annum. And you take off the depreciation, we're talking 6,000-7,000 roughly, and you're talking that the mayor would contribute half of that. Councillor Crossland.
Waive that or say that we are allowing personal use? So could we say we'll take 10% of the servicing and rather than the 50% offered?
There's no discretion because it's fairly clear that personal use must be reimbursed. So I think that's where we're saying that the mayor would contribute 50%, and then any evidence above 50% that would also have to be repaid as well.
So that's the suggestion, members. If there's a suggestion from the floor that you want to keep it open to that the mayor's personal costs just be simply reimbursed. As per the legislation, you could say that, but the mayor has put an offer on the table, which is a generous offer, which I think where you're coming from. Councillor Valescu?
The mayor should be. I think it's very positive that he's done that and recognising that expense. The issue of elected officials' expenses has been in the news recently, and I guess I was quite interested with what Ricky Muir said about his expenses and how he looked at it, and coming from that background perhaps of not expecting to get in and sort of having a quite a different financial situation. So I think that, we do need to look at that. And I think this is a fair way to go. The mayor does get a four times what the councillors get as far as the allowance goes. For professionals, that probably comes at an opportunity cost as far as what they could earn in the time they put in, but they're putting that into their community. So I think paying half the expenses is fair. If they use it more, that's fair. I perhaps would like some clarification in regards to what you do during campaign times. And just to protect the mayor in that role. So, you know, if they are paying for 50% personal use and they do choose to go door knocking or they go to pick up their campaign posters, they need to know whether that's okay or not. And I think that information should be provided. So, and also,
sorry, just to clarify, yes, it is in the policy. Exclusions under Section 3 on page 122, so it's, which specifically relates to campaigns and election periods.
Okay, so I think we now have the complete motion on the screen. And it sounds like we're already in debate. So is there anyone wishing to speak against the motion? Is anyone wishing to speak for the motion? Final comments? Councillor Kerr?
Through the Chair, there was a point there where Councillor Hull sought $2,000 worth of legal expenses. Maybe that's an idea that we include that as well. Because, when I've inquired about it, there was no formal motion, and I think it would be fair and reasonable in the execution of people's duties as a councillor that people be given.
Definitely, I'll ask the staff to respond to that.
Through the chair, yes, this was discussed at the elected member forum. The cost of seeking individual elected members seeking legal advice. The general feedback at the time was that members did not want it included in their policy. If members wished to seek any kind of legal reimbursement for a matter that was directly associated to themselves, it was generally agreed or suggested at the time in the forum that it would be dealt with by the current procedure, which would either be through a direct request to the CEO who would bring a report to council, or it would be dealt through as a motion or notice to council.
So does that clarify it? Do we want to make any further changes with the leave of the mover and seconder to that? Do you want a formal motion pertaining to the previous mayor's expenses in relation to this?
Just a question. I do remember the discussion at the forum. However, what is the current policy of the council, which has really flowed over from the previous council? That hasn't been annulled, surely.
No. So, members, council has no current policy on this. So the only way, and this is what was discussed, because there were some options to bring forward a policy position, and I think if you remember, for those members that were here last term, a report was brought to the council and there was three options provided within that report. What council chose was to adopt no policy position on this, which is still the current position unless council resolves otherwise. Because we have no current position on it, if a member was seeking reimbursement, that is where a motion would be required to be brought before council and council would resolve on each individual matter if they wish to support member for legal fees or not. Sorry, clarification, in regards to legal fees or this policy? This is the second time this policy has come up. It was adopted shortly after the elections at the first meeting.
So, members, if this is the opportunity, if you want to make an amendment to the current motion that's on the screen, if you want to make a change to it, do it now. Okay, that being none, staff have taken our question on notice about the previous mayor's expenses with the car. And we'll get that back at the next council meeting, will we? Yep. Okay, great. Councillor Telfer, you wish to close? No? Okay. All those in favour? All those against? Declare that carried. Thank you, members. We'll get the mayor to resume his chair.
Questions without notice. Councillor Hull.
Just as a supplementary to the question I asked about the phone tower, the motion that is before the administration about this, when was the deadline set for the legal action to start?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, we have received the legal advice back now in terms of taking punitive action. I can provide an update on that. The legal advice has actually stated that the obstacle marking of the tower is contrary to existing development approvals, but appears to have been done in good faith to comply with federal legislation. Therefore, it could not reasonably be demonstrated that the parties responsible have been criminally negligent. Therefore, the advice is that council, it is not recommended that council commence any punitive action, which would be criminal proceedings against any party. As an alternative, though, the recommendation is that council could take Section 85 proceedings, however, under the Development Act. However, the purpose of such proceedings is to make good the obstacle marking so that they comply with the council's requirements. And the belief is that that is likely to be imminently achieved without proceeding to court. If the revised obstacle marking is not in place within the next 2 to 3 weeks, it is recommended that council solicitors will write to the owner of the tower as the first step towards commencing Section 85 proceedings in the ERD court. I can actually advise that Crown Castle has confirmed late last week that they have now actually received all quotes in relation to the remarkings. And that a contractor will be engaged to undertake the remarking works very shortly. So we are keeping certainly a very close watch in terms of the commencement of that work on that particular tower, and that if that work is not commenced within the next 2 weeks, we will ask our lawyers to issue a letter to Crown Plaza.
Would anyone like to move that the question and answer be recorded in the minutes? So moved. Councillor Hull. That's seconded. Councillor Telfer, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Any other questions without notice? Yes? Yes.
Sorry, so through the chair, so when they added the markings to the tower, were they complying with federal legislation or not?
Ms. Jarrett?
The understanding was that, yes, they were complying with federal legislation. However, we have since been talking with the aviation authorities and also the airports, and it was not necessary to actually have the markings that were included on the tower.
So it wasn't,
yeah, but just that
wasn't,
sounds...
Sorry, Councillor Costlin, just for my own sake, it wasn't illegal, but it wasn't necessary either.
Yeah, I was just confused that council planning laws could be federal legislation. It seemed a bit topsy-turvy.
Any other questions without notice? Any motions without notice? Councillor Hull.
Council administration prepare a report on a energy audit of this building as a start. As I remember, that's
the motion is that administration prepare a report on the energy efficiency of the council chambers building. The administration building, that's it, of course. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor? Okay, Councillor Holt, you may speak to the motion.
As I remember, the last time that happened was in the late 1990s, but if you look around, the technology that we're using is not state-of-the-art lighting, for example. The air conditioning system often is not state-of-the-art. And it would be good to actually have it assessed again in terms of how we can reduce our costs. Councillor Pryor's question on notice has really motivated me to actually move this motion, because I'll just go to that because there's some compelling information in there. The administration building, we use $484,504 worth of energy a year in this building.
The kilowatts,
kilowatts
per hour.
Oh, okay. Well, how much is that in dollars? A lot of money, though.
Let's just leave it at that for now.
Yeah, sorry, I thought it was in dollars. But nevertheless, it's a lot of energy, and we could start here and then work our way around, because as Councillor Kerry was alluding to, there are other buildings. Start here and move on. But, you know, for example, my organisation recently, you know, three-storey building, came through in over 2 or 3 days and replaced all the fluoros with LEDs, LED fluoros. Now, they wouldn't have done that lightly. And so, pardon the pun. I just think that, you know, we really need to have another look at this. You know, it's one thing to actually capture all this energy. It's the same in your household. You can put the solar cells up, but if you're still going to have energy-wasting appliances and practices, you don't get the benefit as much as you should.
Councillor Pryor, did you wish to speak to that?
Only to say that a penny saved, a penny is a penny earned. That's a whole one, right. But a good one.
Ms. Jarrett has some information to add.
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. Following on from the questions that were asked at the last Council meeting, I had a conversation with the Manager of Environmental Sustainability, and she did draw attention to a report that was done in 2011 by ZEN and the LGA Community Renewable Energy Audit, and there was an audit undertaken of this building in terms of assessing whether or not the solar panels or this building would be suitable for solar panels. She has actually commenced a review of that report with the view to updating that, and we can certainly provide that information back to Council through this motion.
Can I put another motion, as we're on a roll? Can I put a motion that each month elected members are provided with the results of all traffic management audits that take place in the city? That's the speed, number of cars travelling in our side streets. Because at the moment, we don't have access to that information.
But I can't comment because I don't exactly know what you're talking about.
These are the, when you see the two black strips across the road that count the number of cars and the speed, usually after residents' complaints.
Yes, the answer is yes.